Thank you, fellas. That was a blessing. I'd like you to open your Bibles, the book of Galatians, the very end of the book. One of the things I typically do while I'm eating breakfast, if the paper has already arrived, which sometimes it has already arrived when I've eaten breakfast, I like to read the sports page. And I like to critique the articles grammatically. I'm amazed at some of the things I've seen in print by professional journalists. This morning, this is almost an exact quote. It was an article about the Baseball Hall of Fame and how that some of the players who are voted in have the plaque with the logo of their team included. Of course, some of them were in several teams and some of them didn't have a logo included. But it said this almost an exact quote. Of the 300 previous inductees, 86 of them had logos and 42 did not. My conclusion was we must not be the only school that do not teach math. Maybe that's an issue there. At the end of the book of Galatians, we have these words, verse 17 of chapter 6. Paul says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." That's what I'd like to speak about today, the marks of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God will impress upon us. Show us decisions we need to make today in order that we might be different. I pray, Lord, you'd fill me with your Spirit. I pray you'd give us listening ears and heeding hearts. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the book of Galatians is an interesting book. Galatia was not a city, but a region. Southern area of what was called Asia Minor. Some towns you might recognize in this area were Antioch and Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. Places that Paul went on his first missionary journey, as recorded in Acts chapter 14. And then he and Silas went back there briefly in chapter 16 on the second missionary journey. And in this area, in this region, there were the Judaizers, the people who had gone to these Gentile believers and said, it's not enough for you to just accept Christ as Savior, but you need to be circumcised and follow the Jewish law also. And, of course, one of the major themes that Paul is addressing when he writes this book of Galatians is against the false doctrine of the Judaizers, that salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works. And he makes that very clear in this book. But part of the issue also was that they were attacking him and saying he's not an expert. He's wrong. And so he had to defend his apostleship as part of the foundation or the support of the fact that what he was telling them was true. And as a part of that defense, we come to this very last statement in the book where Paul says, "Let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Some have said, well, that means he had the marks that Jesus had when Jesus went to the cross. And no, that's not true. Jesus had the marks of the cross in his hands, in his feet, in his side, in his brow. Those were not the same marks that Paul had. They were not the marks that resulted in anyone else's salvation. But there were marks that served a special purpose in Paul's defense of his own ministry. And really a mark, it's a Greek word, stigma, from which we get the English word stigma. Okay. This is deep theology. I hope you can stay with me here. But that word has a threefold significance. Because a mark is, first of all, an evidence. Secondly, it's an identification. And third, it's a reminder. And I think when Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, he was saying, there's evidence that I belong to him. I have fully identified with him, and I don't want to forget that. I want to be reminded. And I would just like to have you think of this today, not in the sense that we have the physical marks in the same way that Paul did, but you ought to be willing to bear the marks. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you should be willing to bear some marks for him. Now, I want you to notice with me that a mark is an evidence. As Paul said, I bear in my body. He was talking about physical marks in his physical body. He had the evidence that he had stood for Christ. He had the evidence in his body of the persecution he had endured. Remember the places we spoke of that were in Galatia, in this region. Remember the city of Lystra? Remember what happened to him there where he was stoned and left for dead? He had in his body the evidence of the stand that he had taken for Christ. In other words, there was proof of his persecution in the marks in his body. He could probably look here and say, oh, I know where that happened. And, you know, here's another mark, here's a bruise, here's a cut, here's a scar. And he could kind of go through the missionary journeys by the marks on his body, the physical evidence of the persecution that he had experienced. But just to get an idea of that, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. To get a picture of what he went through as he served God. Now, I know that you don't have an easy life in Bible college. You got to get up early in the morning. You've got to hear old men yell at you all day long. And then you have to pay for it. I mean, that's a tough life, right? But compare that to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, and he was not talking about fashions here, okay, his clothing. He's talking about scars, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Does that sound like an easy life? He's not through yet. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And as if that was not enough, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. We would say the pressure of the ministry. When you have a temptation to feel sorry for yourself about what you're going through in Bible college, and I don't mean to minimize that, okay? I know it's not easy. But understand that the Apostle Paul had all the evidence in his body of those kind of circumstances he went through all the time in serving God. And you know what he said about this? He said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We just read what Paul considers light affliction. He had the evidence. It was all over his body. The stripes, the times he was beaten, the ways that he suffered physically for the cause of Christ. Sometimes we tend to feel sorry for ourselves and think it's hard, and as if that's a good reason to quit because it's hard. But are you willing to bear some marks for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to go through life paying a price to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? We live in an age which is so self-indulgent. And everything is about me and what I want and what I like and what I enjoy. People are choosing churches on the basis of, "Oh, I like the music there. I feel good when I hear that." As if that's the ultimate criteria for right and wrong. They're choosing Bibles. "Oh, I like the way this one reads." You know, "I don't like the way this one reads. I just read to you something I don't like to see here." No. But this is what I need. What I like is not always what I need. And we live in such a self-indulgent society. The churches are accommodating to that. They've said, they've gone through the neighborhood and said, "What do you want in church? We'll give it to you. And then we'll say we're reaching you." When you think about it, the one who was changed is the one who was reached. And what's happening is not that the churches are reaching the world, it's the world is reaching the churches. What marks do you have that you're taking a stand for Christ? Well, I don't mean we have to have a mentality that we hope people will hurt us somehow so we can brag about it. Just saying, if we really stand for Christ, there are going to be people out there who don't like that. There'll be a measure of persecution. You know, some folks don't want to go soul winning because they're afraid they might get a door slammed in their faces. I think Paul said, "I sure trade that for what I've been through." You mean you'd quit because a door was slammed in your face? Let me tell you what happened to me at Lystra. Let's go through Asia Minor and let's just track the missionary journeys and we'll see what it's like. Paul had a few doors slammed in his face. A few rocks slammed in his head. He had the evidence. I think his body was sort of like a history of the missionary journeys. Wherever the scars were. Well, this is proof I was at Lystra. Okay. This is proof I was, you know, you go through the missionary journeys. He bore in his body those marks which were an evidence of what he had gone through. But I'd like you to go now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter describing the faith of many Old Testament heroes. But I'd like to go toward the end of this chapter, begin reading verse 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others, notice this, were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and I love this next phrase, of whom the world was not worthy. What a wonderful testimony. You say, I don't want to live that way. Most people don't. But these people did it for God, and that made it right. Is there evidence in your life that you have paid a price to serve God? Is there evidence in your life? These people had evidence, and they had God's approval. And he said the world wasn't even worthy of people like this. If you serve Christ, you'll have a chance to win some battle scars. There'll be some people who'll criticize. They'll say some things about you that hurt. When I was a little boy, somebody would call us a name. We'd say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names never hurt. That was a lie. The names do hurt. We don't like to be called names. You don't like to be criticized. That hurts. But so what? Super Bowl's coming up pretty soon. If it doesn't snow in New Jersey or wherever, okay. I can't imagine they'd even consider postponing the Super Bowl for weather. Why didn't they have it in Florida in the first place? Okay. Anyway, I expect there will be men on that football field who hurt. And they will go out there and get hurt worse. That's the other team's plan, okay? They're trying to hurt each other, okay? You know, you wouldn't want a football player to come back to the bench and say, Coach, I'm not going out there again. It hurts. Those other guys don't like me. One of them said something unkind to me. I'm not going back out there. Besides, there are people in the stands making fun of me. I think you'd say, if I were the coach, I'd say, okay, you don't have to go back out there ever again. Okay. Not on my team. So what if it hurts? You're a football player. Football players play when they're hurt, don't they? Christians? Serving God? Want to quit? Give up? When it gets a little bit difficult? Who is doing the more important thing, the football player or the Christian serving God? Little wonder the Apostle Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul had the battle scars. Maybe he was a bus captain. If you're a bus captain, you'll have some scars. Okay? You'll bear in your body the marks, no doubt. Okay? Do that very long. But what a privilege it is to have an experience of some kind of suffering for the cause of Christ. Paul said, here's the evidence. Look at my body. Don't trouble me anymore. Don't oppose my ministry. I've got the evidence right here in my body that I have stood for God and served the Lord and done right. So Mark is an evidence, but it's also an identification. We see this Greek word was used to describe practices by various individuals who used marks to identify people with those groups. For example, slaves were tattooed, branded, we would say, like animals, with marks in their bodies that identified them as slaves. So were criminals. Criminals were given certain tattoos or marks or brands that identified them as lawbreakers. So were soldiers under certain generals. They would take the mark of that particular leader militarily. And there was also religious tattooing as various groups were identified, pagan groups. The Christians were not told to mark their bodies. In fact, the book of Leviticus says not to do that. But the marks in Paul's body were not self-inflicted tattoos. They were externally imposed. Okay. But he said, this shows that I have been identified with Christ. You know, a mark is an identification. People will proudly wear their favorite sports team's logos and then be ashamed to be seen with the Bible. There's something wrong with that. Something drastically wrong with that. People can be intensely loyal to their football teams and not faithful in the local church. They shout it loud and long who their favorite sports heroes are, but want to keep their relationship to Jesus Christ a secret. There's something drastically wrong. A mark is an identification. You know that the way you adorn yourself identifies you with somebody. The way you dress is an identification. You know, there are some modes of dress we can see. Oh, there's the gothic look. There's somebody who wants to identify with a certain subculture. I remember I was a youth pastor in the 1970s, not the 1870s, the 1970s. And, of course, the 60s and the 70s, we're talking about the hippie period and all this. And, of course, the hippies, the people of the world wanted to wear their hair long, the guys. And that was a symbol of their revolution, according to Jerry Rubin. He said so in a book that he wrote. And wasn't long before the guys in the fundamental Baptist churches wanted to start wearing their hair long, too. And so here's how they defended that. They said, well, Jesus had long hair. There's a whole lot of things wrong with that statement. Number one, it definitely cannot be proved. I think it can be disproved. If God himself said, if a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him. I can't believe that God himself would have long hair, right? Amen? Amen. Okay. The Pharisees criticized Jesus for a lot of things, but they never criticized him for the length of his hair. Okay. Believe me, they would have if they could have. But apart from the historical error of that statement, the reason the boys in the fundamental Baptist churches wanted to grow their hair long wasn't so they'd be more like Jesus. It's because they wanted to identify with the Beatles. You have heard of them. We're talking ancient history here, I know, okay. They wanted to identify with a worldly crowd. That's why they wanted to grow their hair long. It wasn't so they'd be more like Jesus. And you know, you ladies, you need to be extremely careful and aware of the fact that the way you adorn your bodies is an identification. It is an identification. Do you want to identify with a sensual world that flaunts the body and entices sensual thoughts? Is that what you want? That the crowd you want to identify with? I know we have strict rules here at Ambassador Baptist College, and I'm thankful to God that we do, but that doesn't mean that every individual in their own hearts are trying to identify with godliness and purity. I would say this. Be careful about the tightness of your clothing, which accentuates the form. Be careful about that. It seems that even Christian young ladies want to identify with a worldly culture rather than the virtuous woman. The way you dress, the way you adorn your body, tells us with whom you want to identify. Paul had the marks in his body that identified him with Christ. What marks do you have that identify you with Christ? A mark is an identification. One of the Ptolemies of history. Remember when Alexander the Great's when he died, his kingdom was divided, empire, into four groups. One was the Ptolemies. Well, one of the Ptolemies in the 2nd century A.D. built or commissioned the building of a lighthouse, great, enormous lighthouse called the Pharos, which came to be known as one of the seven wonders of the world. And he commissioned a man by the name of Sosistris to build this lighthouse. And he wanted to make sure that Sosistris understood Ptolemy wanted his own name in large letters right there in front of the lighthouse so that Ptolemy would get all the credit for this project. Sosistris didn't like the idea of Ptolemy getting all the credit. But he built this lighthouse and he had a big structure. We would say a sign out in front, okay? But it was a permanently built structure, carved out of granite. And over the granite, he put some plaster. And in the plaster, he wrote the name of Ptolemy. So that as people would, you know, ships would go by the shore, they'd see this huge name Ptolemy. But understand, it was in plaster. And Sosistris did this on purpose. Over the years, with the waves beating on the shore and the wind and the rain and all these kind of things, that plaster gradually started to erode. And after Ptolemy died, all the plaster was gone, and what was left was a granite sign that said Sosistris. He wanted his own identification. And isn't it amazing how we try so hard to impress people, to identify with the right crowd, so we make the good impression, so we're the in group and all that sort of thing. And it's just a temporary facade that fades and washes away over time. But a mark is an evidence. It's an identification, and it is a reminder. It's a reminder. When Paul looked at his body, he was reminded of several things, I believe. First of all, he was reminded of the struggle. He had written this book of Galatians to deal with those Judaizers. He had already faced them in person. They were the ones, along with the pagans, but it was mostly the Jewish opponents of Christ who did the majority of the persecution of the Apostle Paul. The marks in his body were a reminder of the struggle. Now, if we ever forget that we're in a struggle, if we ever forget we're in a battle, we're going to lose because we'll be taken by surprise. We are in a battle. We have an enemy. The enemy. He is in opposition to what we do here. He is in opposition to whatever you want to do for Christ. There is an enemy who, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may make happy. It seems to be that's what people think, right? I'll do things the devil's way because I'll be happy then. Yeah, right. He's got big plans for you to devour you. There is a struggle. There's a battle. There's a war going on. We need to be alert to that. And the mark is a reminder. Don't forget, we're in a battle. When your alarm clock goes off in the morning, there's a reminder there's a battle going on. And I will tell you right away how your flesh is going to vote. Okay? Same way mine does when my alarm goes off. But it only gets one vote and I get two. And reluctantly, I cast my two against the alarm clock. Okay? We don't like the struggle. We don't like to go through tests. It's getting strangely silent here. I just gave one yesterday. I would think all the guys who are in pastoral theology say, amen, we need to go through tests. Right? But it is strangely silent. We don't like to go through tests. But we sure wouldn't learn much without them. We're not disciplined enough to learn without tests. And God knows that. I'm not just talking about classroom tests. I'm talking about life tests. And we will go through them to demonstrate that we've learned some things about God and His will and His word. Mark is a reminder of the struggle, but it's also a reminder of the cause for the struggle. Remember David's great statement when he was about to face Goliath? He said, is there not a cause? Let me tell you, if you belong to the Lord and you are setting out to serve Him, there is a cause. There's a cause for you to get out of bed and go to class. There's a cause for you to do your homework. There's a cause for you to go soul winning. There's a cause for you to lose sleep. Wait till summertime. You can sleep then, okay? But now you're busy, okay? Now there's a cause. There's a cause. We must not forget there's a cause for the struggle. It's not just struggle for the sake of struggle, but there's a cause for the struggle. And the mark is a reminder of that. I think as Paul looked at his body, he said, I know why I had this. There's a good reason for it. There was a cause that I was standing for that resulted in this pain, this scar, this torture. There was a cause. That makes it worthwhile. I think also the mark is a reminder of the victory. You see, I don't think God wants us to live in defeat all of our lives. And the self-indulgent lifestyle is, as enticing as it sounds, is a life of defeat. It's a life of defeat. churches have lost sight of the concept that Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself and take up a cross. That's not very attractive. But I'll tell you, if you don't preach that kind of message, the people who follow you will have no commitment. When you have low standards, you get a low level of commitment. When you tell people, come as you are, do your own thing, don't change a bit, people like to hear that. The I'm okay, you're okay kind of message. People like that. But you'll get an enormously low level of commitment that way. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to make a commitment, it's going to involve self-denial and taking up a cross as a continual process. But that's the way to victory. In battles in history, the armies that have been willing to deny themselves have come out victorious. In the athletic events, the ones that have been willing to deny themselves have come out victorious. Those are just examples of the way it works spiritually. And a mark is a reminder of the victory. You know, a lot of the things we talked about now, pain and suffering and persecution and doors slammed in your face, those are not pleasant things. But there's a victory available to us as we serve the Lord, and we can live in victory right now today. But if so, we need to be reminded of the battle. Reminded of the cause for the battle. Reminded of the victory that is available. I think we also need to remember, and the marks are a reminder, that our liberty is limited. We're in an age in which there's a great emphasis on quote-unquote Christian liberty, which is not real liberty and not very Christian either, by the way most people apply it. Some have thought Christian liberty means, as Outback Steakhouse says, no rules, just right. I say if there are no rules, it's just wrong. Can you imagine living in a society without rules? I don't think I'd want to live in such a circumstance. No rules. I would think that we should remember in our country a great price was paid for liberty. We enjoy today benefits because of a price that others have paid in the past, in our history. But it's also true that we enjoy some freedoms as Bible believers because others have paid a price with their own blood, even for doctrines like baptism by immersion. People in history have died for that. We have a tremendous heritage as Baptists. People who, through the centuries, have made what we would call the ultimate sacrifice for the truths of the Word of God. Christian liberty doesn't mean that we are free to do whatever our flesh craves to do. It means that our liberties are limited to honoring God. The Bible says, don't let your liberty be a cloak of maliciousness, a covering for wickedness. That's what's happening in a lot of churches. They say you should never preach against sin because we have Christian liberty. You mean we're free to dishonor God? That's not what Christian liberty is all about. Okay. Christian liberty means we're free to serve. We're free to be bond slaves to God. That's real freedom. That's the kind of freedom that Christ offers to us. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Those who boast in what they call Christian liberty, the no rules kind of Christianity, are condoning sin, and whosoever therefore committeth sin shall be the servant of sin. Their professed liberty is making them slaves to sin. If I'm going to be a servant, I'd rather be a servant of Jesus Christ. But a mark is a reminder. It's a reminder. Read this article that says most people forget something sometime. But here's some really interesting things people forgot. One man switched from oil heat to gas, forgot to tell the oil company, and they came and dumped 200 gallons of oil in his basement. A dry cleaners in Elmira, New York, found lots of items that people had forgotten in the clothing that they had sent to the dry cleaners. One man left $100 in a suit 3 weeks in a row. One person left false teeth in the jacket pocket to go through the cleaners. There's a woman who was hunting with a shotgun, and she pulled the trigger and heard this click. Instead of a shell, she'd put her lipstick tube into the barrel. There's a woman in Memphis who went to a department store to buy some batteries, a couple of little batteries. And she came out, got in her car, and opened up her bag, and there was $8,000 in there. She went back into the store, and the clerk was starting to cash out the register and gave her the wrong bag instead of the batteries, gave her the day's receipts. So she returned that, and all this excitement, she went home and realized she forgot to buy batteries. We forget pretty easily. In fact, I have perfected that ability. I've been practicing for decades, and I have perfected the art of forgetting. Okay. But we need some reminders. We need some reminders of why we're here, what we're doing, what God desires of us. And sometimes when you get in the pressures of everyday activities and going to class and doing homework and paying the school bills and going to work and all those things, pretty easy for us to forget what this is all about. I would challenge you today, remember. Do you have the marks? Do you have the marks of salvation? But beyond that, do you have the marks of service? As evidence, identification, and reminder. Would you bow your heads with me, please? In a moment, we'll pray. But just before we do pray, I wonder if there might be some of you here who would say, Brother Surrett, God has convicted me that I don't have much evidence that I fully identified as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I too easily forget why I'm here and what I'm to be doing. So easy to focus on the immediate and lose sight of the eternal. I wonder if there might be some of you here today who'd say, Brother Surrett, would you please pray for me? God has convicted my heart. There's some way I specifically today need to respond to Him. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand if God's dealing with your heart in that way? God bless you. I see those. All right. Thank you. Yes. Amen. God bless you. In a moment, we're going to sing. And as we do so, if God has dealt with your heart in a specific way, I would urge you to come and get on your knees and talk to Him and get it settled today. Father in heaven, thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, the marks that he bore in his body, the marks of the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be willing to go through this light affliction, which is but for a moment, in light of the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I pray for all of these who have lifted their hands requesting prayer, may they today make those decisions of surrender that you've convicted them about, and may you receive the glory for it.